Okay, praise the Lord. Good morning to everybody that's here in the room and those that are watching in many places of the world over Facebook. We welcome you to Texas House of Prayer, located right here in the heart of Johnson County, Texas. We're glad that you could join us this morning or later on in the week. Whenever it is that you watch this, sometimes people don't get to it until weeks or even months later, but we're always thankful when people take the time to participate in what God is saying and doing here at Texas House of Prayer. I normally don't speak two Sundays in a row. It was Jason Tate's turn to preach this morning, and I felt that the Lord maybe on Monday of this past week spoke to me and said that I wasn't finished with the train of thought that we started last week. And so I said to Jason, are you okay with me going again? He said, absolutely. So I'm here with you again. Next week, I will be here once again, bringing a message. We'll deviate from our series on the family, and we'll be teaching a message on teaching the body of Christ about evangelism and the need for our witness in the world and how to be a witness and how to do witnessing. And then the following week, Jason will be here. It's 2 weeks from today, giving an evangelistic message with a strong evangelistic thrust, calling people to Christ, calling people to repentance, turning from their sin and turning to Jesus. We normally teach the body of Christ here on a Sunday morning. This is our one service a week, and we concentrate on teaching those that are in the body how to live as Jesus wants us to live. But we felt that this year God wanted us to put an emphasis once a quarter on preaching an evangelistic message, and Jason's going to be doing that 2 weeks from now. So we look forward to that. Make sure those friends, family, acquaintances that you can't drag to that meeting, have them listen online. I really believe that God's going to do something powerful that week. Okay, well, this week we are once again in the series, A Biblical View of the Family. This is part 13, and we want to continue. The subtitle of this is The Truth About Blended Families Continued. Yes, we're back into that subject again. We're going to continue it. There's a large portion of this aspect, this topic of being blended, that we didn't touch on. And I thought it was okay not to touch on it, and the Lord had other ideas. So we are going to bring balance to what I said last week. That doesn't mean anything I said was wrong, but there's more on the topic of being blended together that we need to understand from the Word of God. So we'll once again revisit Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. I used that last time, and I'll use it again this time to just remind everybody that it doesn't matter that you heard it once or you heard it 1,000 times. It's not only hearing it which makes a difference in our lives, but it's putting into practice and living it. And that's a daily thing. And things can slip, but we don't want them to slip. And we have to give the most urgent and diligent heed to the things which we have heard, that we do keep them in focus in our minds, in our hearts, and in practice in our lives, so that they don't slip and we don't run into a situation where we used to be better at something than we are now. I don't want to be in that position. Anybody here want to be in that position where we used to be better at serving God than we are now? No, we want to get better as we go forward. Real briefly, I'm going to talk a little bit about what we talked about in part 12. You will hear some things that you heard last week if you were here or you listened, and there will be some things added to that, and then we'll get into part 13. So the truth about blended families was part 12. and what the dictionary definition of a blended family is: a family that consists of a couple and their children from this relationship and all previous relationships. That's a blended family, according to what we understand today. A biblical understanding of a blended family is the family as God intended it to be when He instituted it in the beginning. So a blended family, according to our biblical understanding, is not just when two families come together to make one, but it's every family. Since the beginning of time, God intended for husband and wife to become one, and for that oneness to be not just in close proximity to one another, living under the same roof, but truly having lives that are blended together as one. Becoming one as God intended is going beyond the spiritual reality that He has made it to be, and it is being blended together as one for His glory and for His purposes. We must do our part at making this spiritual reality a physical one. This takes giving, receiving, patience, understanding, and the grace necessary to keep trying, to continue to keep trying every moment of every day. Excuse me. We must learn to fit together. We must learn to continually work towards keeping the moving pieces constantly fit together. Now, until death do us part. Now, that was something I said last week, and we'll say a little bit more of what I said last week. But since then, I read a post on Facebook that I thought this person must have written this after listening to my message. Obviously, that's not the case. And I would give credit to whoever wrote this, but I believe it's one of those things that gets passed around, reposted. And I believe when I read it, it was a repost. So I can't really give credit to whoever originally wrote it. But it says, fact, any couple who has a healthy marriage and has lasted 20, 30, or even 50 years did not stay happily married based off of luck. They sacrificed. They forgave. They rebuilt trust when it was broken. They kept dating each other, or we would say courting each other. They listened. They apologized. They got help when they were stuck. They made time for each other. They learned how to communicate. They cared more about their marriage than their pride. Do not think you can have your happily ever after without some blood, sweat, and tears. We have a good marriage because we work at it 365 days of the year. I would say 365 and a quarter days of the year. You know, it's just not me who understands that. It's anybody who truly is intellectually honest, biblically sound and aware, and understands what it takes to make a good marriage. It takes work. Being blended together doesn't just happen. It's when two people decide this is what we want out of our marriage, what we want out of life. We want to honor God with this. And so you work at it, you work at it, you work at it, you stumble, you fall, you get up, you work at it some more. Can anybody say amen? It doesn't happen by accident. A married couple can be physically together, but not blended together. As I said, you can live in the same house for 30, 40, 50 years and still never have been a blended couple. You're living your own separate lives, going your own separate ways, and yet in close proximity to one another. You can smell her perfume and not be blended with her. You can smell his stinky socks and not be blended with him. You can be that close, but that doesn't mean you're as close as God wants you to be, because it's not just a physical closeness. It is a spiritual closeness. Looking out for number one can take the place of becoming one together. Protecting me can take the place of strengthening us. Standing out can be more important than fitting in. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10 says, "Only by pride cometh contention." Contention and its root, pride, are very destructive. They pull relationships further and further apart. They never bring people closer together. Pride will never bring you closer to someone. It brings separation, alienation. They are seeds of destruction. Contention and pride can destroy a marriage, a family, and a church, and the society that we build. We said that the Old Testament was written mainly in Hebrew, and the New Testament was written originally mainly in Greek. Contentious and contention, those are words that we find both in the Old Testament and in the New. And in the Old Testament, the Hebrew, what is translated as contentious in English means, from the Hebrew, an argument, a verbal contest. It's from the root meaning to plead the cause, to stand up for yourself as a lawyer would and plead your own cause instead of blending into a solution. The Greek contentious means strife, a desire to put oneself forward, having a partisan and a fractious spirit. Fractious, as we said last time, means irritable. Here's a new word that I added this week, irascible. Now, I add these new words that many people aren't as familiar with because I have a lot of people from all over the world who already can't understand what I speak, so I'll throw in some even more difficult words to make it even more difficult for them. I had one brother say to me not too long ago, he said, "I understand you, but your speech is too fastly." And I'm thinking, I have never been accused of speaking too quickly in all my life. My wife tries to finish all my sentences, and I say, "Why are you doing that?" She said, "Because you're too slow. Speed up, and I won't do that." So for somebody else to tell me I'm speaking too quickly, it just blows my mind. But anyway, fractious means irritable, irascible, quarrelsome, grouchy, cantankerous, ill-tempered, prickly. People with pride have major eye problems. I think this, I want that. I meaning me. I do it this way. My way is the right way. Your way is the wrong way. You know, Lucifer, when he was up in heaven before he got cast out, it was discovered that he had eye problems. Now, I'm going to read you a passage from Isaiah chapter 14. This wasn't in last week's lesson, but I'm putting it in here for clarity this week. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which dost weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, this is the Lord speaking to Lucifer. He identified what was in Lucifer's heart. Now, as I mentioned the word I, because this was his problem, he had eye problems. As I mentioned the word I want you to count out one. First time I mention it, count out one. Okay, so let's all try to do that together. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. Five times Lucifer said what I wanted to do, what he wanted to do, what he wanted out of this relationship with God. Not one time, Lord, if he says I at all, I am here to worship you. I'm here to submit to you. No, it wasn't that. It's I will do this. I want to exert my will. That's pride. And the Lord says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. We don't want our problems, do we? We want to be those who allow ourselves to become blended as marriage partners, as family members, as family units relating to other families, and as families fitting into the family of God. We want to learn to blend, to be a part. Learn to fit in rather than stand out. This is my admonition to you. This is the Lord's admonition to each and every one of us. Learn to fit in rather than stand out. Learn to be patient with others and their trivial differences. Now, we're going to get into that more in part 13, why we're talking about trivial differences. Some differences matter, and some don't. We have to be wise to know when we should just back off and let things alone, and what things are worth fighting for. Not fighting over, but fighting for. Learn to adapt to the concept and to the reality of the whole body being important. This life is not just about you and what you can get out of it. Stop trying to preserve your right to be you. Let contentions go. Let them go. The argument on the inside, the irascibility, the concentration on my way, let it go. Let pride go. Give it to others. No, not give it to others. Sorry. Give to others and receive from others who you choose to esteem as precious. What's up the road? Ahead? No, what's up the road ahead? And from a heart of humility and desire to make this blended family work. Now we're into part 13. The truth about blended families continued. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? That is not a question that really needs an answer. The answer is understood in the question. No, they can't walk together if they're not agreed. This applies to the marriage, to your marriage, to my marriage, to our families, to the church body, to society as a whole, and to everybody, everywhere, every situation. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can we stay together if we're in disagreement? Well, maybe we can stay in the same house together, and even some people don't do that. But I guarantee you, we cannot become blended, nor can we stay blended if we're not in agreement. The Apostle Paul, writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, this is the heart of God that we will continue to look at for a few moments concerning His will for us to be blended together. Blended together in the things that are right, in the things that He wants us to be together in. Because we'll find out in a few minutes, there's things He absolutely does not want us to be together in. But this is in the things where we should be together in and be blended together. How important it is to be blended and not be contentious. Not try to make things our way. not to split up, break up, bust up over things that are trivial and don't really matter. They're just all about our wants and our desires. It's a different story when we're talking about His wants and His desires. But when it comes to us and our preferences, we need to learn to crucify that and blend our lives together. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing." This goes so contrary to most people, even in the church. They think, a person said one time, Jason and I were meeting with somebody one time, and he said, "It seemed like you two just want to agree with one another all the time." Yeah, wherever we can, the Bible tells us to do that. He says, "But don't you think there needs to be a dissenting voice?" Well, not necessarily. Not unless something is wrong, scripturally wrong, fundamentally wrong. Agreement is what we are to shoot for, press into, die to self over. "That you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you," no divisions, no contention, no pride, "but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Well, that's just like a bunch of robots. No, it's a bunch of people who have submitted their will to the will of the Lord and decided that being together is more blessed than being apart. "For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." You should be together. You should have the same mind. You should have the same judgment. You should be speaking the same thing, but you're not. Because of why? Because of pride leading to contention. Remember, Proverbs said, only by pride comes contention. If there's contention there, that means there's pride there. "Now I say this, that every one of you saith, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ." People are picking and choosing. "Well, I like it when Brother Jason preaches. I don't like it when Brother Steve preaches." "Well, I don't like Steve or Jason. I prefer Dustin." "Well, I don't like any of them. I'd rather listen to it on the TV." Don't say that in front of me. I'll put a quash to it real quick. Don't ever think that you're honoring me by saying, "I'd rather listen to you than Jason." Uh-uh. You said the wrong thing. I'm not going to honor that, because we have come together to work as one in this body. And I want you to listen to Him every bit as much as I want you to listen to me, because I want you to hear God in both of us. And when Dustin preaches, in him, and all three of us, I want you to hear the Lord speak. "Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" Romans chapter 15, verse 6. "That you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even your Father, our Lord Jesus Christ." How do we glorify God? By having the same mind and the same mouth. "As long as one of you has a dissenting voice." No, it doesn't say that. What glorifies God is when we can find His will, find it together, and stay in it together, be blended together, and live out the rest of our life working to accomplish His purposes. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you." Romans 16, 17. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. People who cause divisions and offenses, we are to avoid, not prize them as having another voice. Now, there's times we need a dissenting voice. We need, but we'll get to that in a minute. And we're going to honor that. Philippians chapter 2, beginning verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy. What's going to bless the heart of Paul the Apostle? That ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, through contention, through strife, through pride. Let nothing be done through that. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Laying your life down, exalting others. It's not really that difficult when pride is out of the picture, but it's almost impossible when pride is in the background. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. This is constantly verbiage. This is constantly God's will concerning blending together as one. Now, last week we talked about the family, the marriage couple, and then we took it from there toward the end of the message, and we got into family, and then we took it from family into families blending with one another and learning how to learn from one another. Then we took it into the family of God, into the church. This week it's just going to be all out there, all mixed up, because the principle is the same. Whether it's blended as a marriage or whether it's blended in the body of Christ, blended is blended. We should be blended over the things that we should be blended over. We should become one over those things, and we should put the work necessary into it. 1 Peter chapter 3 in verses 8 and 9, finally, be you all of one mind. See, this wasn't an isolated scripture taken out of context. This isn't somebody, right now me, because I'm the one preaching, taking a verse and stretching it and trying to make it something that God never intended. This is mentioned over and over and over again. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. There's more than two or three witnesses. God is speaking His will, and it is confirmed over and over again. Finally, be you all of one mind. This is the Apostle Peter now speaking. Having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25, Paul speaking, and we're breaking again for brevity's sake. We're breaking into a passage, but if you think it is taken out of context, go back and read it. It's not. That there should be no schism in the body or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Now, this is just a slight little difference here, but we need to understand that there is a time when we can disagree with our brothers and sisters over something that is for their benefit. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. That word provoke is the same word as used as contention or contentious in other places. So we can be provoking and contentious with somebody when we're trying to gently explain to them, no, you got that wrong. No, your thought process about that is wrong. You're not seeing that right. And you're not doing it to put them down. You're not doing it to hurt them. You're doing it so the two of you can be in agreement with one another You have to get rid of that which is not right so you can come into agreement over the truth of the Word of God. But it's a whole different thing than being quarrelsome and irritable. It's lovingly saying to somebody, that's not right. You know that's not right. I haven't had to say it to Susan very often, but a couple times in the past, and it's very, very rare. I said, Susan, you know that's not right. What's coming out of your mouth right now is not right. That's not you. I had to be contentious with her about her attitude to show her that she, I, and the Lord are not all in agreement right now. The Lord and I are in agreement. She's out of the picture at the moment. We need to rein her back in. Now, once again, it hasn't happened very often, and the number of times I've had to have the same thing said to me is probably 100 times more often. But that does happen, and that is something that we ought to do with one another because we love one another. Being blended together as one is what God expects of us. It's not a, oh, well, y'all want to do that? That's okay. If y'all want to argue all day and night, that's okay too. I love you all. No, we must do our part and work towards building and strengthening the good relationships that He has led us into. There are good relationships that we should have. There are godly relationships that He leads us into, and we must do everything we can to maintain those relationships, to build them, to strengthen them, to maintain them. Those relationships that are intended for His glory and for the extension of His kingdom. He said, brother, so far, even in part 13, all you're doing is telling me what you told me last week. You just give me a lot more scripture. Okay, here's where we diverge. However, His will for us is to not be blended together with those people who He has not led us to. You know, you can look out and find relationships that God never wanted you to have. Anybody understand that? Read Proverbs. You read the heart of a father telling his son, stay away from fools. They'll get you in trouble. Stay away from the harlot. She'll get you in trouble. Her road is the pathway to hell. There's a lot of relationships that we need to stay away from and we need to be warned against. But if we don't heed the warning, if we don't heed the Holy Spirit, if we don't heed the Scriptures, we can march headlong into relationships with people that are destructive for us, and it does not please the Lord. He has not led us to those relationships and are not to be blended together with those relationships that are born of our fleshly desires and which do not honor Him. Regarding these people that He did not bring to us, that we went out and found, or we let them find us, and regarding these relationships that are not born of Him, He gives us a totally different set of commands. In these cases, we are not to become one with them. Now, I'm going to give you three reasons we should not be blended together. Number one is we are not walking in spiritual agreement. We are following different spiritual masters. Amos chapter 3, verse 3, we read it earlier. Can two walk together except they be agreed? If you are walking in the light and they're walking in darkness, you are not going to have a good time being blended together. There's going to be conflict. It's either going to be conflict in your heart or coming out of your mouth or in your attitudes. There's going to be conflict shown. Because if you're truly in the light and they're in darkness, light has no fellowship with darkness. We are walking in the Spirit and they are walking in the flesh. There is no communion there. There is no oneness there. You're trying to make something work that will never work. You can sit and watch a football game together. You can sit and have a meal together. You can sit and do quilting together or whatever else, but your relationship will only go so far. It will be unfulfilling, and if anything, you will slowly over time, if not quickly, it will definitely be slowly, begin to degrade in your relationship with the Lord, because your relationship with Him will be affected. I don't believe that. I believe good always wins. I believe good always triumphs. I believe my good heart, my relationship with God, will overcome the evil that I am subjecting myself to by being in relationship with this other person. We'll see what the Scripture says about that in a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Absolutely none. What communion or sharing together in common? That's what communion means. You share together in common. What communion hath light with darkness? Absolutely none. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Should be none. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? They have different reasons for existing. Absolutely no agreement. They are there in honor of different gods, standing for different values. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Separate is different than together. Separate is not blended. Separate is different, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to keep company with fornicators. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man. That's not even necessarily an evil man by other ways. He's just angry. He's known as being an angry man. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. James chapter 4 and verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, be not deceived. Okay, for somebody thinking, like we were saying earlier, that me being around them is going to make a difference on them. Well, if you choose to be around somebody that you know is a bad influence on you, this is what the Scripture says about that. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. The second reason why we are to avoid being blended together or trying to be blended together with those that God has not put us with is we are wanting totally different things out of life. We are serving different passions. We have different motivations, different internal motivations. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 through 39, think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. This is Jesus speaking. Luke version of that verse, chapter 12, verse 51 says, I've not come to send peace, but division. For I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, and his daughter, against her mother, and against the daughter-in-law, against her mother-in-law. Jesus said he knows that this conflict will take place. He's not come to bring peace with two people who are not one in spirit, because it cannot happen. If somebody's serving the devil and you're serving God, there will not be peace between you. There will be conflict. And a man's foe shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. You know, it's sad, but when children grow up in a house where they are taught the ways of God, and they decide because of their own flesh, because of their own evil and their own hearts, they want to pursue things that their parents don't agree with because their parents agree with God, then all of a sudden here's this conflict in the home, and what is said by that child against the parents is, they don't love me, they don't support me, they don't allow me to be me. Well, honey, let me tell you, I can't call myself a Christian and agree with an ungodly lifestyle. Sure, I love you. Sure, my heart weeps for you and breaks over the condition of your ungodly heart. Sure, your mother and I pray over and over and over again for your repentance and for your returning unto the Lord. You don't know how much I love you. You cannot fathom the love that I have for you. But that does not mean that God will allow me to participate in your sin, to agree with your sin, to let you go into it without a fight. I'm fighting for your eternal soul. That brings conflict in a home. And it's not God's fault for not giving in to evil. It's a fault of those who have given in to evil and have not submitted and surrendered to the Lord. Why is there stress and tension in some families? Why can't those families be blended together? Why is there contention and strife? Why are relationships strained and even broken? Because you can blend two or more right things together and it's good. It honors God. It's the will of God. A married couple, a family, a church body that is blended together to serve His purposes is good. He ordains that. He empowers that. He blesses it. He strengthens it. His kingdom, it strengthens His kingdom and He receives glory from it. But He cannot and will not bless a union where two opposites are being blended or try to be blended together. God has demonstrated over and over and over again, He hates the blending. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9 through 12, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. This is two that are blended together over the right things, over godly things. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. If they fall, the one shall lift up his fellow, but woe unto him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. There is strength in numbers. There's strength in coming together. There's strength in being with others of like precious faith. That's why we gather together here on Sunday mornings. That's why we gather together at other times during the week. That's why we want to be together, because there's something in you that blesses me. And there hopefully is something in me that blesses you. And we gain strength and encouragement from one another. But instead of being two or more containers of right and blending two different containers of right, you try to blend a container of right and wrong. Good and evil, light and darkness. That, my brothers and sisters, is an abomination to the Lord. All throughout the Old Covenant, he showed his extreme displeasure in mixing or blending unlike things. His word shows us over and over again that God hates the blending of dissimilar materials and things. He was clearly demonstrating a spiritual principle by using natural things. Listen to this, and we are getting close to finish. Deuteronomy 7, verses 2 through 6. I have a lot of scripture in here today because I want you to see this isn't just me speaking. This isn't me pulling out a scripture here and there and making a point. Although I would hope that you would trust me if I did do that. You go home and study anything you have questions over and come up and ask me a question later. But I would hope you'd give me the benefit of the doubt after this time that if I did not give you quite as much scripture, that I'm probably not just talking off the top of my head, that I've done study on it. But today I wanted to give you some of the scriptures that back this up. I want you to see, because I want you to be able to stand on it. I want you to stand together and fight for relationships that are right. And I want you to run like the Dickens away from relationships that are wrong, because they will destroy you. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 2 through 6. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt not smite them. Thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy upon them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter shall not give unto thy daughter shalt not thou give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take from thy son. For they will turn away from thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. He says, I don't want you marrying outside, not of your skin color. He didn't say that. Don't mix straight hair with kinky hair. He didn't say that. He said, don't mix spiritual allegiances. They are serving other gods. You're supposed to be serving the Lord God Almighty. That is what I don't want you to do. They will affect you. Ask Solomon. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 19. Ye shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed. Neither shall a garment mingled of linen and woolen come upon thee. What did that matter? Nothing in itself, other than God said it, and he was trying to say, I hate mixture. Are y'all understanding me this morning? It wasn't the wool and the linen that mattered. It was God wanting to say, I want you to understand what mixture is, and I don't want things that are not alike to be mixed. And I'll make it so clear to you, even you can understand it.
Thank you, Steve.
No, that's what he was saying to them. That wasn't what I was saying. I was just repeating what he said. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 9, thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with diverse seeds, with different kinds of seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. The mixing defiles it. Deuteronomy 22, verse 10, thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together, a donkey and an ox. Don't have them plowing together. Why? I don't know. They're two different animals. He said, don't do it. He's trying to show a picture. He doesn't want mixture. Thou shalt not wear a garment of diverse sorts, as of woolen and linen together. And number three, and this is the last one today, why are we not to be blended together with that which the Lord does not want us to be blended together, with that which is not of Him? Because we are working towards different goals. We have different expectations and have different quitting places. The place where some give up, turn around, and head back towards the bondage of Egypt. Brothers and sisters, I want to be the kind of brother in your life. For those of you who look at me as such a spiritual father, I want to be that to you, who is one who is steadfast and stable, who, no matter how hard the devil tries to find quit in me, he can't find it. And I want to be in relationship with like-minded people, and who, if they have quit in them, will at least listen to me and talk them out of it, as I try to talk you out of it. Because for us to work together, we need to be together, and that means staying in the fight together. I don't want to turn around, I'm fighting three guys, and you're at my back, and you're helping me out, you got my back, we're fighting this fight together, and I turn around, and you fled and left me alone. I don't want that, and I don't want to do that to you. That's why this is so very important. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38 and 39. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul, this is the Lord speaking, shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of those that draw back unto perdition. Drawing back unto perdition, damnation. That's where backward leads. Forward doesn't lead there. Forward leads to the blessing of the Lord. Forward leads to eternity in heaven. Forward leads to Him being pleased. Forward leads to us being a blessing to the body of Christ. Forward leads to our marriage working. Forward leads to our family working. Forward leads to repentance when it's necessary. Turning back is turning back to perdition. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Acts chapter 15, verse 36. And some days after, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark, who we find out later on was his cousin. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. So once before, John Mark was with them, but he left them and didn't stay with them. He turned around and went home while they were right in the middle of things. And Paul said, no, I don't want to work with somebody who I can't trust will stay with us in the fight. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Barnabas took his cousin, they went one way, and Paul chose Silas and departed, and being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Now, just a real quick, brief word about this relationship with Paul and Barnabas and the tiff that they had with one another. Some people, I think it's all, a lot of people make surmise what happened and what the Lord thought about the whole thing when the scripture doesn't tell us. And if you're on the side that is real kind of strong and you see Paul as being right and others who feel like you should be more merciful and everything, see Barnabas as being right. All I can do is surmise as well. And that doesn't really help people very much. But I will tell you why I believe that Paul was in the right here. Number one, and I'll give you some reasons, but that doesn't mean I'm right. It's just some reasons. I believe that the Word of God tells us God's heart on those who turn back. That's God's heart. And if you think God is unjust, if you think God is unmerciful, then I don't think you're seeing God correctly. So if you think Paul was unjust and unmerciful, I don't think you're seeing him correctly either when he realized that Mark had turned back and Paul didn't want to have to deal with that again right now. Paul went on to be used of the Lord. He wrote approximately 2/3 of the New Testament. I don't think God would have used him to be so prolific in writing the scripture if Paul had a glaring character flaw that was just his own human nature just getting out of hand that easily. Again, could be. Could have been. There's one time that happened and he later repented. I don't know. But when you couple together the things that you see, and it says that the Paul took, who was it, Titus with him, and they went on, they were confirmed by the brethren. Paul's journey and who he went with was confirmed by other people. I don't know if the same thing happened when Barnabas took his cousin and went off. The bottom line is that we do need to know who we're working with and the caliber of people that we're working with. And we all need to work together and be blended together with people who we believe, at least at the outset, believe are going to stand with us. And it's hard to be totally committed to somebody if you don't know if they're going to use you. Many of the people that I'm dealing with in Africa, in Pakistan, and other places, some I've already determined that their heart is pure and that they're not scammers. Others, I'm still on the fence about. I don't know. Some of them may be. I don't want them to be, but they may be. But I guarantee you one thing, I can't be blended together with somebody who's trying to scam me, and neither can you. We don't want to sit under a preacher who his heart is questionable. We don't want to be in relationship with people whose motives are questionable. We can only be blended together with people that we trust. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 15, "This thou knowest, that they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes." And I didn't grow up with people with these names, so excuse me if I butcher them. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. "Do thy diligence to come shortly to me," Paul writing to Timothy again in 2 Timothy. "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Now, this is Mark. We believe it's the same Mark that was talked about earlier. Back in a situation where Paul says he's profitable to me. Now, one of two things happen when you're in this area of surmising, and all I can do is surmise. Either Paul changed, which allowed Mark to appear more profitable to him, or Mark became more profitable through his repentance. I really believe through everything in the balance of Scripture, I believe there came a change in Mark where he might have even contacted Paul. Again, we don't know. He might have even said, Paul, you know that time I left you and I didn't go to work with you and I just left you on your own? I was wrong in that. Will you forgive me? And if you have an opportunity, I'd love to be used again. I'd love to have a second chance. And I think Paul gave him that second chance based on that. But again, if you want to throw that out and think Paul finally got some care and some compassion in him, if you think he was that lacking and it took that for that to happen, then you can surmise that. I don't. But the bottom line is there were others who definitely ran off and left Paul. And he was in a little bit of a spot of bother because of that. And the last passage of Scripture here, 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. Little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that this is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. Again, another scripture from another voice, which is not Paul, saying basically the same thing. Again, another reason why I surmise that Paul was right in his judgment of Mark at that time. And he was obviously right in his judgment of Mark when he said he's profitable for me for the ministry. But if they were of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now, what did we accomplish by part 13? The truth about blended families continued. Well, we found more of the Word of God saying how much He wants us and how important it is to be blended together with those of like precious faith, with those that He has put us together with the wife that He has given us, with the husband that He's given us, with the family, the children, and the parents that He's given us. He wants us to be blended together in our service of Him and our commitment to walk not in our flesh, but by the Spirit and according to His will and purposes. And then we have found that there are those who He absolutely does not want us to be blended together with. And I'll close by this, that there are some who, for whatever reason, are unequally yoked together in their marriage. And you're already married, and you have a husband that is not saved, and you are, or you have a wife that is not saved, and you are, but you are unequally yoked together. You're past the point of stopping and not getting into that relationship. You either did it out of rebellion against God, and now you got to deal with where you are, or you got saved later, one of the two. In that case, your unwillingness to be blended together at this case is not personal with that person totally, but it's situational. What am I saying? If you're saved and he's not, how can you be blended together with him in the areas where you can, where it does not conflict with your faith? Work towards being blended together. Work towards being a good wife, a godly wife, or a godly husband, whichever way that went. But it is situational. You're doing everything you can to enjoy life and the good things of life together because you're already married. But now he asks you, come on, darling, let's go down and get drunk at the bar. Now, situational. Now you say, no, I cannot do that. Some people would teach, he's your husband. You just follow him, let God deal with him. Now, you're going down. There's many scriptures that teach us that it is situational. We obey the government every way we can. But when the government stands in the place of God and tells us we can't preach, then if you want to throw me in jail, throw me in jail. But I cannot help but obey my Lord and preach the gospel. So it's situational at that point. I want to encourage all of you. Look at your life. Look at your relationships. What relationships belong, what relationships don't. What relationships must you work at and keep working at and continually work at, and which relationships must you run away from? May God give us all wisdom as we desire to be blended couples, blended families, blended totally and completely, speaking the same mind, having the same judgment, church body, and let us go forth in strength because we are blended together His way with His people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this, Your Word. Lord, I ask that You bring clarity to any situation that is unclear. Lord, have Your people be diligent in seeking, searching the Scriptures to find out answers when they have questions. Lord, let them seek help when they need it of others that have the qualifications to help. And Lord, make us all strong. Make us all useful for Your kingdom. Help us, Lord God, to stand and work towards relationships that are of You and to eschew those that are not. In Jesus' name, amen.